All right, so 2020 vision, his vision, our focus, right? So let's review real quick. Last week, Pastor Teresa talked about a dream is what could be, but a vision is what should be, right? So in this case, of course, dreams are wonderful, but this series, for this series, in the beginning of the year, the foundation of the year, we're going to go after God's vision, right? By making God's vision our focus in 2020. Can I get an amen? You guys are with me? So God's 2020 vision will give us passion, pathway, and purpose, right? And we all know that, you know, according to the Word of God, that one of my favorite scriptures, that man without vision shall what? Perish. Man without, isn't that awesome? We're talking about vision and we're talking about perishing, but we don't want to perish, right? So we have to establish a firm vision in our life, one that comes from God. Hallelujah. And so as we talk about that, right, I pray more and more and more for everybody here that our lives begin to line up more and more with God. Okay, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but that's where we're going. So the definition of a vision, brothers and sisters, this is not in your notes, but you can go ahead and write this down. I found this definition. I like it a lot. It's from the King James. King James Dictionary, it says, a revelation from God. Everybody say, a revelation from God. What does that mean? That means that God is going to reveal something. Okay? God is going to reveal something. I can't wait. God is going to reveal something. It is an appearance or exhibition of something supernatural. Okay? Everybody say supernatural. What does that mean? That means we live in the natural. So God is going to reveal something that is beyond what we are able to see, hear, physically feel, right? So we know that it's going to be beyond that. Okay, so don't be scared. Don't be afraid. You know, get excited about it because it's something I'm pretty sure that you and I don't really expect necessarily, because it's always a surprise, but it's always what's best for us because God knows what's always best for us. Amen? It's supernatural, right? Or prophetically presented. So it's used to build up the body of Christ as we go on and build the kingdom of God together, right? But it's also spoken out, right? And by which informs future events. So again, it's going to be revealed by God. You guys are with me this morning? Amen. Thank you. So of course, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the pie of life. Now, I love this. I talked about the pie of life because there's different aspects to our lives. Amen. We're complex creatures. We're the created beings from God, but we're not simple in a sense that there's a lot of different aspects to who you and I are, how we're continually growing and stretching. And so as we look at our lives, there's an aspect of our marriage, right? Now, it's in the biggest piece of the pie, but don't mind that. It's just I had to stick it somewhere, so I just chose that randomly. But marriage is very important in my life. I happen to be married. Some of you maybe are single, and that's okay, right? One day you may be married. Relationships, certainly. We're created for relationships. So how are your relationships? Ministry, for those of you who are in ministry, ministry simply means to serve, okay? It doesn't mean you have to have a title before your name. It doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. It doesn't mean you have to be a children's ark worker, right? You can have, so we identify all these, but at the same time, ministry simply means to serve, to think outside of yourself, to look at a wider scope of people that you're related to, in a sense that, you know, your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. You take your eyes off of yourself and you put them on other people. And you fulfill needs that people have around you. And that's why, you know, Micah so eloquently communicated, we have eye care. One of my favorite ministries that we have, in all honesty, you know, we're able to go out just a little bit, kind of, you know, talk with some of the people who are houseless. And you know what, brothers and sisters? I ran into somebody I used to go to school with. That's fascinating. So I had a wonderful conversation with him and how he came to this point in his life now. But, you know, he goes and he says, I choose to be here, and that's his decision. You know, at the same time, we want to make sure that we go out there and make sure that we can fully support him in any way we can by providing material things and maybe a shoulder to lean on. Can I get an amen? That's why they exist. So the eye care, for those of you who serve in eye care, thank you very much for doing that. You are a servant of the Lord, and you're going out there and you're expanding the kingdom of God. So that's ministry. And then there's finances. Now, why is finances important? We talked about this a few months ago. And you know why? Because lack of finances, all right, finances cause a lot of stress in people's lives. You guys ever notice that? A lot of Christians can say, well, you know, money is not important to me. I get that. But we live in a material world. And what do you need to get on in a material world? You need finances. And so what we've noticed is that a lot of families are broken up because, you know, husbands and wives, you know, they're working different careers and they don't spend time together because the husband is working two or three jobs, the wife is working two or three jobs, and there's a separation between husband and wife, and they argue. You know, the number one argument in the family home today is lack of finances or not knowing how to steward it properly. And so a lot of people kind of getting into, you know, getting into debt, getting it out of control, and it's wreaking havoc on the family home. And that's why Jesus wants us to make sure we're stewarding it properly. Amen? Because money is simply a tool to be used for great and wonderful things. Hallelujah. Work, okay? Source of stress at work, right? I didn't want to be the guy that made, if anything, you know, the greasy wheel gets the squeaky wheel gets the grease. When I was at work, I used to work for a rental car company. I used to work for a cell phone company. When I was in the military, I was the guy that wanted to keep my nose clean, dot every I, cross every T as much as I could. I know I wasn't perfect, but at least I wasn't squeak, squeak, squeaky that my supervisor had to come and grease me all the time. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Right, so I wanted to be the guy that everybody could just, oh yeah, that's Rosario, he's good, leave him be. That was me, okay? And then health. Now the reason why health is important, the reason why health ought to be significant for you and I, is because this is the temple of God, amen? I'm not saying me, I'm not saying I'm perfect, I'm not saying I'm, you know. What I'm saying is, how do we carry the presence of God wherever we go? With our physical body. Amen. And so how can we go and carry the presence of God into dark places if we can't even get there ourselves? Amen. So think about those types of things, to take care and to steward your body the way God wants us to. Amen. And of course, all these things that make up the pie of life, the question is, can we have Jesus right in the center of it? Can we? Can Jesus participate in every aspect of our life? Because if he cannot, I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, get rid of it. Don't participate in it. Amen? Makes sense? And the reason why I believe that is because I want to share this with you, and I shared this with you a couple of weeks ago. 3 John 1:2 says, Beloved. Everybody say, Beloved. Everybody say, I am loved by Jesus. Doesn't that feel great? Beloved, Jesus is saying, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper. Woo, let's just stop there. How many of you guys want to succeed and prosper in everything that we do? Yes, succeed and prosper and be in good health. So you see how important that is, even to Jesus. Physically, just as I know your what? Soul prospers first, right? Success, prosperity, health, these are the things I believe that need to be in the forefront of our mind, right? Because then we live life to the fullest until Jesus calls us home. But as he points out, just as your soul, turn to your neighbor and say, your soul. That's what he is most concerned about. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about the soul, we talk about the mind, the will, and the emotions. Three things. And I kind of alluded to that in the beginning, where we talk about the mind, we talk about the will, and we talk about the emotions. Now, the mind of Christ, putting on the mind of Christ, which is what the Word of God tells us to do, to put on the mind of Christ. And as God elevates the way we think, because Jesus' ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, amen? So as we learn what the mind of Christ is, and then we align our mind to the mind of Christ, what do we experience? We experience clarity, which is exactly what Pastor Teresa talked about last week. Amen? None of this confusion. How many of you guys have ever felt confusion before? Doesn't that like hurt your brain? Gosh, hate that, right? So why does my brain hurt? Oh, I'm confused. Right? But as our mind gets into alignment with the already existing for eons, eternity mind of Christ, we experience clarity in our life. Now that's an endeavor that we got to get good at as we pray on the words and discipline and spend time with him. The second thing we look at is our will. Now sometimes when we experience frustration in our life, it's because we are outside the will of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so we must seek what the will of God is for our life. And when our will, because you're stubborn, you're stubborn, you're stubborn, I'm stubborn, because we want to do things our way, right? But when we find out and we seek what God's will is, and our will comes into alignment with God, we experience what? I like to say we experience the shalom peace. Yes, great, thank you. We experience shalom. Right? So what are we talking about? We're talking about clarity. We're talking about shalom peace. And then the last thing, emotions, mind, will, and emotions. The emotions. You know, as we read the Bible, because Jesus Christ was fully God, he was also fully man, he experienced emotions. Everybody knows the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Right? It's two words. Now what happened? I mean, he was overlooking the city, right? The city was destroyed. So what did Jesus do? He wept. He cried, right? Now how many of you guys think to some of the things that's going on in your life that makes you cry? Yeah? So those are the things that we're going to talk about, right? So we see how Jesus gets emotional. Jesus does get emotional. He does get emotional often. He gets sad. He gets angry. We also see when Jesus was upset when he turned over the tables, right? Stop turning my father's house into a den of thieves. And he went after those gambler guys, right? So we see he gets upset. Emotions. Now as we think about what gets Jesus upset ought to get me upset. You know, murder, killing. Thank you, Pastor Teresa. Murder, killing, lying, adultery, you know, all these different things that Moses talks to us about in the Ten Commandments, right? Those types of things, and maybe even more. Can I get an amen? Everybody with me? Yeah? Yeah? Mind, will, emotions. Thank you, Creed. Mind, will, emotions, right? So 2020 vision. Let's look at the book of Nehemiah, because today we're going to be talking about discontent. We're going to be talking about what made Nehemiah sad, what made Nehemiah despair, what made Nehemiah distressed, okay? So let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning and we thank you for a wonderful, wonderful time of worship this morning as we focus once again on you and the wonderful things that you are doing in our lives, Lord God. As we lift up your name, Lord Jesus, we trust that you will draw all men to yourself. Draw us deeper, Lord God, as we seek you and only you, and we sing praises unto your name. So, Lord, as we look into your word this morning, teach us, guide us, rebuke us if need be. But all we want, Lord God, is a life spent with you here on earth until you call us home, Lord Jesus. To you be the glory, always and forever. Amen. Amen. Nehemiah's concern for Jerusalem. Nehemiah's concern for Jerusalem, verse 1, it says, in late autumn, in the month of Kislev, we won't get into that, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, okay, he was the Persian ruler, I was at the fortress of Susa, and Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me, kind of like they had their own mixed plate, right, guys? That's it, they had their own mixed plate. That's just really what it was, you know, a group of young adults, you know. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. Because of the oppression that was going on, brothers and sisters, everybody was scattered. All the Israelites, all the Hebrew people were scattered all over the place. And then Nehemiah asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. Now everybody say Jerusalem. And you've probably said it a million and one times, but this is the point that I want to make. Jerusalem means city of peace. Everybody say city of peace. In the Hebrew, they say Yerushalayim. Okay. That's fun when you say different words and different accents and, you know, different things. But Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, city of peace. Okay, everybody with me? Because Salem, right? Not the cigarettes, okay? But Salem. My uncle used to smoke those. Salem, right? It means, it comes from the word shalom. Okay, so when we think, we see Salem, Salem, Massachusetts, right? The Salem on the East Coast, right? And all that kind of stuff. Shalom, it comes from shalom. It means peace. Yeah? Verse 3, for they said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. And the wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. So number one, you can go ahead and write in your notes, brothers and sisters, to do a search and a survey. You're gathering intel. You're asking questions, you're learning about the situation, right? You're learning about what's going on and around you and the world around you. So you search. You want to learn, you want to find out. To survey something means to examine, to look carefully, and to collect data. Not that you want to be niele, right? For those of you in Hawaii, we know what niele means. It means you're nosy and you want to gossip and all that kind of stuff. That's not what we're talking about, right? You want to gather information because you want to do something about it, not just gossip, okay? But you do a search and a survey of your own life, first and foremost. And here at New Hope Hala'iwa, we always say it takes courage, doesn't it? It takes courage to look within. It takes courage to notice your flaws, right? It's irritating when you have a wonderful wife who sees all the flaws about you, and it's a blessing at the same time, right? And so I'm a very blessed man. Hallelujah. But you do a search and a survey of your life, yeah? You also do a search and a survey of your relationships. And then you do a search and a survey of your community, the world that is around you. So those three things, okay? Those three things, real briefly, I'm kind of open that up a little bit more. But I was praying about this, and this is pretty cool. As we look at the story of Nehemiah, okay, and we talked about your soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. That's kind of like a composite of who we are as people, right, as individuals. So we see that we are in the center of it, right? That's you, 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 everybody, and everybody joining us online. Morning. Right? That's you. But here it is too. When we read the story of Nehemiah, right, he was more concerned about the walls around what city? Jerusalem, okay? And so as we look at the walls of Jerusalem, according to Nehemiah, they were all broken, all dilapidated, all busted up, you know, just it was destroyed. And so when we think of our soul and what surrounds our life, you guys are with me? We think of our relationships, we think of our ministry, we think about our work, we think about our marriage, we think about our finances, we think about our health, we think about all the things that we just talked about in the pie of life. Can I get an amen? These, I believe, is like a parallel of the city of Jerusalem. Okay? You guys are with me? And this is what I mean. Because when everything is intact, brothers and sisters, don't you and I experience shalom? Now, what's beautiful about the word shalom, it just does not mean peace. It means the integrity of who you are. You're the whole composite of who you are. Your inner thoughts is greatly displayed on your outer side. Like whatever you believe on the inside is very evident on the outside, right? It's not like, you know, when people say, oh, you Christians are all hypocrites. You say one thing and you live another way. That's not shalom. Shalom is your integrity. It's intact. You are a true person of your word. You live out what it is. And how many of you guys are, you know, it's easier for some people. Some of us are working at that. Can I get an amen? Right? But that is shalom. Now, if Jerusalem is the city of shalom, right, and he's concerned about the outer walls, shouldn't we be concerned about our relationships, our ministry, our work, our marriage, our finances, health? Do you guys see the parallel? Do you guys see the parallel? Because check this out. What if there's pukas in your relationships? What if there's pukas in your ministry, right? And, you know, praise the Lord. We look at, you know, some wonderful, wonderful ministry leaders, right, that have had moral failures. Gosh, you know, by the grace of God, there go I, in all honesty. I think about those things, drives me to my knees. Hallelujah. But what about different pukas, like I said, in our workplace? Maybe you have somebody at work that you're constantly arguing with. There's just friction going on. What if there's friction? What if there's pukas in your marriage? Amen? Pukas in your finances. Stop spending. Because there's a big puka in your purse, big pukas in your pocket, right? And it's just going down the drain, right? Health. You know, for those of you that don't know what puka simply means hole, right? For those of you from the mainland. Yeah. Puka means hole in Hawaiian. So we look at all these different pukas. And what do? Just like the walls of Jerusalem, Nehemiah wanted to make it stronger. He wanted to rebuild them again, right? And that's what we're going to be talking about. See, you guys see that? Playing a little bit with my technology here. You guys like that? I'm a visual guy. I'm a visual guy. So that makes sense. I got excited when I made that. Amen. So Nehemiah, again, verse 4, he says, when I heard this, I sat down and I cried like a baby. I wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed. Drove him to his knees. Now, brothers and sisters, that's one of the disciplines that I would highly, highly encourage that we all develop this year. Is get on your knees as we seek the Lord. Amen. And many of you are already doing that. Yes, absolutely. Continue to do that, right? But for those of us that are, it's kind of new for you, right? Get on your knees and seek the Lord. Fast and pray to the God of heaven, right? Verse 4. Number 2, go ahead and write in your notes, that causes us to pause and to pray. To pause and to pray. So we do a search, we do a survey of our lives, We look at all the different things that are going on, and then we stop. Now, how many of you guys just sometimes need to just shut up, right? If the Holy Spirit audibly could just tell you, and He could, I believe He could, and sometimes the Holy Spirit does. But you know what? You're talking too much. You don't hear it, right? Sometimes you just gotta shut up. Kayate! Right? Shut up! Right? Sometimes the Holy Spirit tells us that. And that's good for us. Right? ACT. How many of you guys know the acronym ACT? A-C-T? Because a lot of people, they go, Pastor Glenn, I don't know how to pray. Okay. You know, I heard it said this way. That's like you're talking to daddy, right? And what's realistic is that a lot of people have daddy issues. They have a broken relationship with their biological father. That's real. So then they don't know how to relate to the Heavenly Father. Okay? We won't get into that, but it you know, that's something that we need to address, of course. But when you pray, brothers and sisters, use ACT. A stands for act, ask. Right? You have to act on prayer. Right? You like that? You have to act when you pray. But you ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, give me clarity. Give me insight. Give me direction. Give me something to believe in. Whatever it is that you want to ask, just speak from the heart. But then there's some things that maybe you have to confess. Lord, I know I've been a jerk. I did this. I've sinned. I did this wrong. I know that. I know you already know. But as I confess, I have to sometimes more so confess to yourself, right? Kind of let it all out. And then you thank the Lord for who He is and what He's done. That's just a guideline, right? It doesn't have to be, you know, we're not legalistic about it, but it's a guideline for all of us. And then later on, I want to point out how Nehemiah uses ACT, which is pretty cool, right? But ask yourself once again, what concerns me? What concerns you? What concerns me? And uh-oh, I spell another acrostic. Yeah? I come up with all this stuff, right? Uh-oh. Concern, C, ask yourself, what moves me to compassion? What moves me to compassion? You know, when I was talking with, I'm going to pick on Carl King here, Mr. King. Loves to worship, a wonderful, wonderful heart of worship. But one of the things that moved him to compassion was to do something, and he wanted to get involved with Ho'olanapua. Right? So Carl and Maureen King moved to compassion, right? Human trafficking. And they wanted to do something about that. But in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 36, when the word of God tells us that Jesus Christ was moved to compassion, it talks about how Jesus overlooked the people and how He saw that the people were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And that was Jesus' holy discontent. It was concerning for Jesus. Amen? So ask yourself, what moves you to compassion? What spiritually offends you? Amen? You know what really spiritually offends me and really gets me mad is when a lot of people say, well, you know, there's other ways to heaven. Jesus is not the only way to get to heaven. Now, we won't get behind a theological, you know, debate behind that, but, you know, Jesus is not the only way to get to heaven. You know, I get spiritually offended, right? Because you know what you're doing? You're decreasing the value of what Jesus Christ did for you, right? And you're saying Jesus is not even worth it. Why did He go to the cross? He went to the cross for you so that people can have thoughts like you because He gives you the gift of free will, right? We won't get into that, right? But those types of things kind of spiritually offend me. What are my non-negotiables? Non-negotiables, simple things like, you know what? Every Sunday, regardless of what the weather is like, you know, Teresa and I always wake up Sunday morning and worship together as a family. That's a non-negotiable for us. You know, so wherever we are, as much as possible, as a family, we come together as a family and worship the Lord. We happen to do it Sunday morning at 9 a.m. here at New Hope Hala'iwa. That's a value of ours. It's a non-negotiable. Now, what if Teresa was of a different religion? What if she was of a different world belief? What if Teresa was of a different world view? I can tell you this much, I don't think our marriage would last, in all honesty. That's a non-negotiable for me, you know? You guys with me? Non-negotiables. What are my convictions? What am I convicted about? What are the things that I'm going to stand on? We talk about how Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our life. He is the foundation of how I'm going to build my life. We talk about the house of sand. We talk about the house built upon the rock. Guess what I choose to build my house on? The rock. Am I perfect at it? No. I'm not. But I'm going to do my best. Forget the rest. Right? That is a conviction of mine. Amen? Those types of things, right? What must I engage in? What must I become involved in? Because it's concerning for me. Right? I give an example of Carl King. He engaged in Ho'olanapua. People like James Horton, you know? Sister Sella, Auntie Diane, right? I'm going to get involved. I'm going to go reach out to the community. I'm going to do eye care, right? Because it's concerning for them. It's a holy discontent for them. I'm going to engage in something. I think in the beginning years when Teresa and I, we saw how the worship team, and we went to a church, we saw how their worship team was very haphazard. They were very disorganized, and it grieved my heart. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, he endured all the pain, he endured all the suffering, he endured all of that, just to give Jesus a hobby level worship experience. It grieved my heart. It grieved her heart. So you know what we did? We decided to engage, and we did our best to elevate. Amen. What am I responsible for? I think of the three things, the top three things that I'm responsible for. My own individual faith walk, I'm responsible for that. My own individual faith walk, my being a husband to Teresa, and my being a parent to my five children. Those are my top three things. There's more, but if you had asked me what are my top three things, without hesitation, those are my top three things. That's what I am responsible for. That is what only I can do. I'm not going to expect anybody else to do that for me. Can I get an amen? And then finally, is there anything in my life that I have neglected? I have neglected. Maybe I've neglected my relationship with my wife. I notice that she's a little bit, you know, friction here and there. You know, maybe one of my kids are climbing up and we have kind of a rift in relationships, so on. I've been neglecting some of these things. So ask the Lord, what have you been neglecting? If there is anything that you've been neglecting, I'm not saying you have, but maybe there is. And allow the Holy Spirit to show you what those are. Amen? Concern. Compassion, what offends you, what moves you to compassion, what offends you spiritually, what are your non-negotiables, what are you convicted about, what must you engage in, what are you responsible for, and are there any things that you may have neglected in life? Amen? Former senior pastor of Willow Creek, he kind of said this. He said, the one aspect of this broken world that when you see it, you touch it, you get near it, you just can't stand it, there is a holy discontent with your name on it. Okay? So let's talk about holy discontent for those of you that maybe are not quite understanding. What does that mean? Moses, in the Old Testament, his holy discontent was seeing his people enslaved, beaten, and mistreated. Right? There was human trafficking going on back then. David, his holy discontent was the Israelites being bullied and intimidated by Goliath. You guys remember that scene? When David was just finally fed up, he goes, what are you pansies doing? Why don't you stand up to this guy? That's basically what happened. He was a cocky teenage kid that could actually back it up. Right? But that was his holy discontent. He backed it up. Jesus, his holy discontent was seeing people living in sin. How many of you guys can say amen to that? Jesus' holy discontent was seeing people living in sin without repentance and salvation. He did not want people separated from the Father, right? Martin Luther King, you guys heard of him? His holy discontent was racism, prejudice, and of course, discrimination. Mother Teresa, her holy discontent was seeing the helpless and the homeless on the streets. She was the originator of eye care. No, I'm just kidding, right? I mean, Mother Teresa, wonderful woman, wonderful example, wonderful woman of God. Nehemiah, the character that we are talking about this morning, his holy discontent was needing protection for his people. So he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem to once again establish the temple of peace in the city of Jerusalem. So let us do what Stephen Curtis Chapman, one of my favorite praise and worship leaders, he wrote, let us pray, come on, sing guys, come on. Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day, it is the right time. For the Father above, he is listening with love, and he wants to answer us, so let us pray. To the other side, let us pray, let us pray. Everywhere and every way, every moment of the day, it is the right time. Let us pray without end, and when we finish, start again, like breathing out and breathing in. Oh, let us pray. It's a beautiful song, guys. Ah. Dun da 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 dun da 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 da. It's really cool guitar going on. I mean, this guy, I mean, Stephen Curtis Chapman, an amazing, amazing worship leader, right? I love this song because it talks about how prayer is a continual thing. You don't just stop. It doesn't stop when you say amen. You know what amen means? Amen means you agree with me, right? That's all it says. When I say amen, okay, I'm in agreement. You're in agreement with me. We're in agreement with the Lord. We're in agreement with one another in one accord, right? Not the Honda. One accord, right? We're in one accord, right? That's what prayer means. Yeah? So finishing up Nehemiah. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant, keeps his promise of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. What is Nehemiah doing? He's asking. Ask. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess, see, I'm confessing that I am a sinner, that I have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. I confess I'm not perfect, and so therefore I come before you, O God, very humbly. Amen. For we have sinned terribly by not obeying. In fact, we were disobeying, right? The commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses, referring to the Ten Commandments. Verse 8, please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are not just the Ten Commandments, but the book of Leviticus as well. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. Talking about returning once again into the arms and into the love of God. Amen. Into the presence of his peace. So go ahead and write in your notes. Number 3, to own it. Own and obey. Right? Hey, if I want something in life, I'm going to ask the Lord. I need clarity. I need my will of God to line up with him. Right? I need peace. I need love. I need comfort. I'm going to ask. Just own it. Even if you made mistakes, yeah, I made mistakes. I no longer want to live that way. Right? And so I'm going to obey you from this day forward. I'm going to obey you. Amen? So the people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you.
Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. For in those days, I was the king's cupbearer. In other words, Nehemiah was saying that I was already a high official in the king's court, right? Not only that, he was a cupbearer. You know what that means? Every time somebody would pass a cup of wine to the king, he would be the one to pass the wine of the cup of wine to the king. But he would also have to taste it and make sure it wasn't poisoned. That was his job. How would you like that job? Right? And so therefore, the king trusted him. He knew he had the trust. He knew he had credibility. He knew he had all that with the king. Amen? So let us pray. Let us pray. John 14, as we end with this, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal. Everybody say reveal. Remember in the beginning we talked about reveal, we talked about revelation, right? Some of us are like, you know what, Pastor Glenn, how come I don't see the evidence of God moving in my life? He is. Okay? Just continue to seek him, because Jesus promises, not only do we accept his commandments, but we obey them. What does that mean? We have to continue to live it out. We have to act on it. Amen? They're the ones who love me. We don't necessarily prove our love to Jesus by just saying we love him. That works, that helps. But what happens when you actually live it out? And you make the necessary changes that the Lord wants you to make. He sees it, right? But when you act it out, that's more proof that you love Jesus, right? So you see how simple that is. Not necessarily easy, but it is very, very simple. And because they love me, my Father will love them. Jesus, indeed, I believe, brothers and sisters, right? I believe, you believe, indeed, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And watch as God continues to reveal himself. Can I ask you to stand, brothers and sisters, as we close this morning? God bless you guys. You guys are so awesome. You know, I come to church every Sunday, freaking out sometimes. You know, because I just, in anticipation of what the Lord is going to do, in anticipation of what the Lord is doing in our midst right now, it's very humbling. You know, and for 2020, as we continue to seek the Lord in many, several things, right? And in time, you know, God will reveal, you know, what those things are. As we seek clarity, you know, I shared a couple of weeks ago that my word for the year was imagination, right? God's image in everywhere of our life, not just my life, but your life as well. And we celebrate those types of things, right? And we understand how Jesus Christ, he's the Lord of all. He's the Christ of heaven and earth. And we know that passage that says Jesus holds the key for both heaven, for life and death. Amen. So a lot of wonderful things are changing, happening in our midst. But as we continue to seek Jesus, follow him, he promises us, right? As he takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, he promises there's a table waiting for us, for you and I, to eat the best poke, the best lao lao, the best pancit, patele, whatever you want, sushi, it's all there, sirloin. And all you vegans out there, right? All there. But we go through our valley. We go through the shadow of death. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, God bless you guys.
Praise the Lord. Father God, we come before you this morning with hearts that are so grateful, Lord God. We seek you humbly. But if you're here this morning, brothers and sisters, if you're here this morning and say, you know what, Pastor Glenn, there's a lot of things in my life that I have been discontented about. Number one, you want to give it all to Jesus. You're saying, Jesus, take it. I don't want to carry it. I don't want to be responsible for it anymore, in a sense that it has been out of my control, right? So I want to give it to you, Jesus. But I also thank you, Jesus, for showing me different relationships that you want me to strengthen. Perhaps you're showing me a situation at work that I need to take care of, that I need to address. Perhaps you're showing me that there's something that I need to do with my child, or if you're a child, perhaps you're showing me that there's something that I need to do, I need to say to my parent. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding me and for teaching me and for showing me how to strengthen these walls in my life so that I can find the peace once again that I am so after. The peace that only comes from you. Lord Jesus, there's a reason why you are named Prince of Peace. It's beautiful. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Glenn, I want that relationship with Jesus Christ, and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ at all before, praise God for wonderful beginnings. Amen. If that's you this morning, brothers and sisters, you want to make that one right, we want to build a steady foundation for your life, just go ahead and raise your hands right now. Raise your hands. Hallelujah. We see you, brother. We see you, sister, brother. The Lord sees you. Amen. You can put them down now. And if you're here and you're saying, gosh, thank you, Lord, I need a redo. I have been following you, Lord Jesus, but I slipped and I fell. I fell into the miry pit. Thank you for pulling me out once again. And I place my faith in you once again. If that's you this morning, brothers and sisters, come home. Come home to your City of Peace. If that is you, brothers and sisters, go ahead and raise your hand. Yes, absolutely. The Lord sees you. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Everybody repeat after me. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, I place my faith in you. And I know, Lord God, that this forgiveness as well is available for everybody, because it's impossible for me to be a sinner and to come home into the home that you have waiting for me. And so, Lord God, I turn away from my old ways and I turn to my new way, because I want my life to be with you, Lord Jesus. For you are King of my heart, Lord of my days, forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray, and all in agreement say, Amen. Praise the Lord.